Welcome to the fifth episode of Your Time in the Run, the Hunted UK Series 7 podcast from Reality TV Warriors. My name is Michael Holmstone, and joining me as always is my fellow Brit who's promised us he's now entirely self-sufficient for the podcast, Anthony Williams.
Hello.
And the lady who we sometimes have to subtitle with, and I quote, inaudible shouting, Michelle Pierce-Denovan.
Oh, as if.
It's one of the rare times I've ever turned subtitles on, because when Alex was trying to hitchhike and he was like, oh, I don't know what it said, but I'm assuming it was abusive, I went back and turned the subtitles on Channel 4 streaming service, whatever we're meant to call it now, and it was just inaudible shouting. And it really tickled me.
Oh, that's funny.
I suppose we'd be remiss if we didn't at least acknowledge what had happened in Sydney. Is everyone all right, Michelle?
Yes. Yeah. Look, Tom, my husband, left half an hour before this guy arrived. And also my niece left half an hour before, so they were fine. I did find out my close friend's daughter actually left about 15 minutes before he arrived. So She was a bit closer. But you know, normally we would be there. Normally Amber and I go there on a Saturday afternoon, but because I had a hair appointment at 2, then we didn't go. But when I finished with my hair, my hair appointment is near the police headquarters in Sydney. And 2 of the riot vans were leaving as I left my hair appointment, and then 3 ambulances in a row from further up on the street that I was in. And I'm like, wow, okay, 3 ambulances in a row mean something is going on.
I was saying to Amp before we started recording, I didn't even know anything about it till you marked yourself safe on Facebook. And I'm like, oh my God, what's happened?
Yeah, well, I did that because I've got a lot of international, obviously, friends. And so I did that because some people had already started messaging me because the reports kept saying, you know, it was basically women who had been attacked. So that's the only reason why I put that. Normally, we don't do that sort of thing in Australia. We never have anything to report. So it was really strange to have that. And even now I'm on holidays and normally we're up there. We do something there probably every day. We either get a coffee or go to the shops, and it's still shut currently. They're letting any of the families of people who were killed or hurt go through there and do their thoughts of, you know, whatever their last steps were, their relatives. Yeah. So it's not open again as yet, and I'm assuming it'll just be really strange to go there now that we know exactly where, you know, everything happened and stuff. But yeah,
it's very, very sad, obviously.
Very sad. And one of the girls who died, she was actually an old girl, which is what we call girls who finish school, of my old school. So she was an old girl as well of my school. So that just brought it a little bit closer to home as well.
Yeah. On a slightly brighter note, Doug keeps getting undermined, which is hilarious. It happened again this week. We will get to it later in the episode. And did you hear that one of the fugitives made an appearance on another TV show this weekend?
No.
Yeah, I did hear that. I haven't had a chance to watch it. Someone turned up on Saturday Night Takeaway, didn't they?
Yes, so I think I'm probably on the same Facebook group you are, led by Craig, and he was moaning about the fact that someone from Hunted had won a holiday on Saturday Night Takeaway, and it was the final, probably ever, episode of Saturday Night Takeaway on Saturday. And I was scrolling through it, and I'm like, Craig said it was a guy, so I'm trying to work out who it was going to be. And then I skipped through, and it was the sing-along live section. And singing alongside Tony Hadley off of Spandau Ballet during Gold was none other than Kathy, One Bottle Deep. And it's so funny watching the clip because Ant even takes the piss out of how big her wine glass is, and she's now confirmed that she'd already had a bottle by that point. So she was
I have to
very
watch this.
Happy.
Can you send me a clip, please? Because I'm not going to be able to see this.
I will try and dig it out for you. But please. Yes, it is utterly delightful.
Now, I assumed it had to be Kathy and or Anita.
Yeah. Well, because Craig said it was a guy, I'm like, I can't really imagine many of the guys this series being pranked on Saturday Night Takeaway. And then, yeah, it turned out that it was Kathy off of Anita with a very large wine glass. And her reaction, I have taken a screen grab of because I knew it had amused you guys, just in case you hadn't actually seen it yet. I was hoping at least one of you hadn't seen it.
No, I've not had a chance.
Also, coming out of the woodwork, pretty much as soon as the episode finished last night, I started getting notifications of comments on our last recap for Hunted. I'm like, wonder who this is going to be. Quickly read it, and I'm like, no, I can't go any further because I've not watched the episode yet. And it turns out it's our old friend Alex Ayling.
Fantastic.
He's left us the following message. Hi, Michael, Anthony, and Michelle. Alex here. Hope you're all well. Just finished watching the fifth episode, and now I can comfortably give you my prediction. Honestly, I had a gut feeling about this for some time, considering the lengthy delay between filming and the release of this series. But my early prediction to this series was a clean sweep for the Hunters, and my mind hasn't changed once. This series has a total vibe of Series 4 all over again, and I believe that the same is going to happen this time next week. I've been listening to your thoughts over this series, and I've enjoyed your discussions as always. Although I went into this series completely blind, unlike previous series, the fact that there was such a gap in time between filming and release led me to believe that either this series has been scrapped entirely due to the poor caliber of Fugitive, or that everyone got nabbed so quickly that they never even reached the point of finding out where the extraction was. In my opinion, I think the writing's on the wall for Hunted. I can easily see it becoming a celebrity-only series around stand-up's cancer time, and the civilian series will be let go and be no more after Series 7. It's a shame. You know for a fact I'd be there for Hunted All-Stars. Alas, it will never be. But that's just my opinion. What are your thoughts at this point in time? Looking forward to hearing what you three have to say during midweek. Oh, and of course, I should mention just one word, which I'm giddy in what you'll say about this down the line. Motorbikes.
Yes. Yes. I did have motorbikes. I look, when I got my notes out today, on the first page I had motorbikes, and I went, oh, that's right. Bikes.
It was such a big promo point at the start of the series, and it's like, yeah, it was in the initial departure, and potentially it'll appear when they go back to London next week, but it's still hilarious.
It better do, otherwise it'd just be a really weird thing to have happened.
Did you guys also see that we've sort of arranged an interview for Hunted as well?
Yes,
I did see that. Yeah, sort
of, I didn't understand what was going on there. Yeah, okay. Or was it a book signing?
Yeah, it appears that friend of the podcast and Gold Command, Kevin O'Leary, has written a book, and we very much have been volunteered to have him on the podcast. He has an open invitation. He's always had an open invitation, as he well knows. We just need to arrange for that to happen at some point.
Definitely.
So what do we think about Alex's thoughts then?
I don't think it's a clean sweep, because there is still bits that we haven't seen. My gut is that the weird edit this series is due to the fact that it's an ending that we haven't seen in the civilian version. Namely, it's a solo fugitive win.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think Cameron is the only winner.
I would not be surprised. It is a weird edit, though, this season. This episode blew my mind.
I have basically an entire monologue prepared of how weird the edit has been this series, because I don't know whether you saw my tweet last night after I finished watching the episode, but it feels downright disrespectful, the edit we've seen this series.
Disrespectful.
I think we're being trolled.
Do you?
Well, mainly towards us, because the fact of the matter is, they're basically doing a greatest hits this series in terms of giving, like, Alex the Nick Cummings winner edit. We had the decoy with Sade and Cameron. We had so much personal content with Alex, especially this week, but Kathy and Anna as well last week. And then they immediately just got caught.
Yes.
It just feels, it feels like they're deliberately, maliciously trying to just mislead us this time. And I don't mind being misled, but the other part of the I don't mind being misled conversation that I go back to on Mole a lot is it still needs to make sense in the end.
Yeah, and that's the bit that troubles me, is how they make all this make sense in the end, but
yeah,
we're going to find out in a week's time, but it is very, very odd. Just weird things, like what an anticlimax Kathy and Anita was.
Mm. Yeah. And I also, I don't like the fact that they gave us a clip from the finale right at the start of the premiere. That really got on my nerves.
Mm.
Because that's just ridiculous. It tells us that Charlie and Cameron are not going to get caught until the finale anyway, if at all. We've also seen that clip of Cameron crying in the tent, which I'm presuming is next week as well, presumably after Sharda gets caught and then he's on his own. But just not a lot of this series has made sense edit-wise.
Yeah, and you're right. In some ways, I kind of like it. I like that we've not been able to predict the winner from week one, which is a bit of a change. But like you say, it's all going to make sense in the end, and I'm just not quite sure, which is why I'm not, I don't know. I think it could be a clean sweep. It's possible.
The thing against a clean sweep for me is we've seen someone open that briefcase.
Yes.
That is true.
That's why I think it's a solo win now, because we only saw one person open the briefcase. There was no one else seemingly around. And we saw in the pre-episode one bit that someone opens that briefcase and it doesn't look like it's a hunter to me. Because if you think back to the series 4 reveal, they did still open the suitcase to prove it, but they did it on the rooftop of the Bullring as a group of hunters.
Yeah, which still could be the case, couldn't it? It is possible that it's a hunter opening the case.
It did, but it looked like someone was sitting down opening it going, oh my God, I've just won 100 grand in cash.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you'd want us to think if you had a clean sweep.
But yeah, I'm leaning towards Cameron's solo win as it stands. They're the only ones with a bit more story still left to tell, I think.
Yes, exactly that. If there is a winner, Cameron is one of, if not the winner.
Yeah.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And I also feel really bad about constantly going, yeah, Sade's going to get caught every week, knowing that she's going to listen and probably repost this constantly.
Well, I still hope she doesn't, but all the evidence says that she gets caught.
I want Sade to win, but there is still the question mark of Cameron crying in the tent, looking like he's on his own. And this week definitely made it seem like Cameron was going to be self-sufficient at some point.
Yeah, I mean, there's two stories that are all about one member of the team. So Sade and Cameron is all about Cameron stepping up and becoming a leader and becoming more mature. And that's pretty much all of their backstory. And with Jackson and Nicola, it's all about Nicola is there to support Jackson. And so those two stories can't lead to all four people winning. They can't.
No, I remain convinced Jackson and Nicola are getting caught next week.
It feels like it. I'm not sure there's any more backstory left there.
So previously, the remaining eight fugitives continued on the run. HQ chat Jack down to the moors outside Newcastle and captured him quickly while he was enjoying a 5 sausage roll breakfast. Charlie and Cameron's close family network helped them fool the hunters by performing a decoy, while Alex used his family network to stay at his aunt's castle for the night. Kathy and Anada's rowing background was revealed, and the episode ended as they headed from Bexhill to Folkestone for a regatta. And we begin with HQ looking at the regatta in Folkestone again. If they show out, the operation is off. They have ground hunter Nicola off of motorbikes in episode 1 at an observation point, and in the case of a sighting, they will be caught by undercover operatives in the crowd.
This was just like the very second the episode started focused on Kathy and Anada, I just wrote, oh, they're getting caught then.
Yeah.
It was just so telegraphed. I don't understand it. There was no kind of real cliffhanger to it. And then they just open up with, yeah, they're in Folkestone. We'll just go and we'll get them there now then, shall we?
Why didn't they do it at the end of last episode?
Yeah, because that's the thing. Last episode, they switched from doing the capture at the end of the episode to the capture at the start of the episode. And then they did the capture at the start of the episode this time, and then in the middle of the episode, and then not at the end.
It's just all over the place. But it was just, I don't know, it felt like we'd really built these two characters up as they're having loads of fun and everything, but then it just wasn't a fun capture. It was just, oh, there they are. Let's just stroll up and grab them then.
Yeah, it's just really weird and just underwhelming, I think, is the best way to put it. Because they then, as part of this reveal that actually it's 12 days into the hunt, as I suspected it would be, we had that long discussion last week about actually the timeline of this, and it appears they actually sort of pulled it back to the right place in the timeline of about 12 days.
Yeah.
But then it just didn't make a lot of sense just going, oh yeah, Kathy and Anada, you're really fun for the previous 4 episodes. We're going to keep peppering you in just because you're having a load of fun on the run. And oh yeah, you get caught right at the start of episode 5.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. It just felt off.
I genuinely think it would have been a little bit more satisfying if they just ended last episode with it. And we could have gone, oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, definitely.
Rather than starting this episode going, oh, Kathy and Anada again. Yeah, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they remember each other as youngsters. They used to turn heads and now they turn stomachs.
That's such a good line.
But they also said they knew each other when they were young and vibrant. Ladies, if you're listening, you're still vibrant. You're so vibrant. You're off the scale of vibrant. Like, seriously.
I know. Can we just remind ourselves that they're in their mid-50s? Like, oh, we're so old. You're not old.
No. And they're still vibrant. Like, and one of them, I don't know who it said, who said, not much use to anyone, like as if she's not valued. I'm sorry.
That was Kathy.
Like, Kathy, I need to say, Kathy, like, you are valued to all your friends. If you can make your friends laugh, if you can make them feel good about themselves, if you can have a good time, you don't need to be doing things for somebody else to feel valued. You are valued in just being a friend and being there for somebody and having fun with somebody. And I didn't like that. And, you know, everyone's got their own value. You don't have to be working. You don't have to be a mom. You've still got your own value in this world.
Yeah, let me be clear. Kathy and Anada are the stars of this series, bar none. They are so much fun in every scene that we see them in these, let's be honest, just over 4 episodes. They are stars.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So they're hoping to rendezvous with their friend Graham and use his associates to travel north, and they both fall over the curb.
That was good. They can't say because of the wigs.
Yeah, normally I would laugh at this, but I actually genuinely did fall over the curb last week. I've got scabs on both of my hands at the moment.
Oh my God, you've actually fell forward enough. Cut, you didn't catch yourself. Oh God, that's funny.
The irony is, I was on the way to the doctor's at the time.
You didn't have an appointment to talk about your problems with balance, did you?
No, it wasn't an appointment to talk about my problems with my balance or my eyesight or the fact that I've got a size 13 feet and I just trip over myself occasionally. Nicola thinks she sees Anada and Ray tells her to hold her nerve. Kathy is suspicious there are hunters there, and Steve sees a second woman. Nicola then confirms the sighting of a second fugitive and the hunters catch them both. Oh, bollocks.
Yeah, oh, indeed. Dear. Oh, bollocks.
Bit sad.
It was sad. I don't think any of us thought they were making it to the end, but it's a shame that they went in such an underwhelming way, really.
I think heartbreaking last capture is the prediction that I gave.
Yeah.
And there is a small degree of irony in that if they'd lasted about 6 more days, they could have just hopped up to London and easily got the extraction location quickly. They were best positioned.
And given that after day 12, apparently everybody just had a week off, it would have been fine.
And in the continuation of Lisa's softening edit, she says that they were her favourites.
Yeah, well, I think we can all agree on why that would be. Yeah. They were just lovely.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them on something else.
Lovely and the right side of batshit crazy.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not water skiing across locks, but they were good fun.
And before she came away, Kathy didn't feel like she was much use to anyone. Now she's proud of herself. And Anada says that being on the run has brought her back to life, and it's entirely Kathy's responsibility.
Brilliant. I'm so glad they had fun.
And the remaining 5 are spread across the length and breadth of the UK, otherwise known as the North and Scotland.
yeah, pretty much.
I swear they put that in just because they know I'm going to mention that every time.
Oh my God.
It's never true.
Length and breadth. Well, mostly lengths, really. Let's be honest.
Are you on speaking terms with any of these editors?
No, that's the problem. I suspect, because we know obviously hunters listen, I suspect the editors probably listen and put these things in just to needle us slightly. As much as we joke about this with Belgium Mole, especially, that they pander to us, I think there may be a degree of pandering to us when they put in like length and breadth of the UK and get Jonathan Smith to say it. So we see that Shadow and Cameron pulled the stunt in Asda. Dr. Steve Hersey says it's super smart and they can be pleased with themselves, but now hunters know exactly where they were, so it's still a lead.
Is it though? They're exactly where they were. Yeah, where they live. Mm. It's not much of a lead really, is it? Let's be honest.
Now this episode especially is sort of, yes, these tactics have worked in the past, but we have got ways to get around them now. I think is the theme of the episode, because we do obviously see it with Alex basically being in the middle of nowhere and then heading towards his dad's house.
I don't know. I think the theme of this episode is family. Like, seriously, they all went to family. They were like, I know they have to, but they don't have to go to their houses, do they? They can meet them in a field. They can meet them in a shop.
It always used to be that the rule was that you had to meet someone you knew 50 miles away from home.
Yeah. Do you have to go to the house now? Like, what the hell?
Well, I think with Alex going to his dad's house, there may have been an element of this might have been Father's Day as well.
Could well have been the same day, couldn't it?
Because it certainly was about then in the timeline.
There was a throwaway line as well, and I should have written it down, but it was something like today of all days or something like that. So I think there is a strong chance he was also caught on or around Father's Day.
Yeah, I think he went to his dad's house to say Happy Father's Day to him, personally. Mm. And because it got overshadowed by the Jackson and Nicola thing, and they had the more fun Father's Day story, then they just didn't mention that it was Father's Day when Alex got caught.
Yeah. And also, it would mean yet another capture, all happening around about day 12.
Yeah. But this series, for me, is the series of reinforcement learning. And fugitives are essentially doing a greatest hits of what's worked in the past, and HQ have learned from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And can you tell that I kind of partially work in AI now?
Are you saying they're machine learning hunted?
Yeah, pretty much.
We should just put an AI avatar out on the next one and see what it does.
Hunted ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And Shadow and Cameron are drawing Lisa and Ray on a napkin to throw darts at.
Brilliant. Love it.
Made even better by the fact that Cameron gets a headshot.
It was a cracking shot. I've been watching darts this weekend. You should think about taking it up.
Hang on. Have you already done Jackson and Nicola at the parents' house?
Nah, that's coming soon.
Oh, okay. All right. I must have missed this thing on the napkin. Okay. Continue.
Alex is going to be much harder to catch than Jack. He's played a good game since the separation, and he's also notably a lot beardier than he was. There is a big jump in the timeline for Alex here.
Yeah. But they've got no content.
No.
There's nothing. It's just more shots of him off the grid, clearly well away from the hunters.
Mm.
And he's hitchhiking and abused by cars going past. And as I said, the subtitles do say inaudible shouting.
How can it be inaudible shouting? It can't actually be inaudible shouting.
It's unintelligible, I think, is the word they mean.
Yeah, it should
it?
Be unintelligible shouting, not inaudible.
In a really bad edit, though, he changes T-shirts halfway through the scene.
Yes.
What?
He's in the same place, but he changes T-shirts.
That's very strange.
Yeah. It's not even just strange, it's sloppy. It's downright sloppy editing that.
Did he, when he changed his T-shirt, did he have his GoPro on?
No.
Okay.
But he's on the same road?
Yeah, he's on the same road.
That's very strange.
Jackson and Nicola posted a picture from Barry Island and got out of there ASAP, but HQ don't know where. And after 12 days, they are in Wigan, having returned to their parents' house for Father's Day to surprise their dad. Oh, and geez. As we can now work out, that means that day one was June 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Also, slightly pointless move, because it's not really that much of a surprise to their dad to see them again when he saw them a week beforehand when he picked them up from that pub in Yorkshire. I know it's probably more about the box ticking of the tasks that the fugitives have to do, having gone to the house, but still, they can't really say it's much of a surprise when it's like 6 days since he saw him last.
No. But how cool is Terry Feely?
He's the kingpin.
Yes. He is the kingpin.
I love it. Love it.
Love Terry.
I also love that the dog was more excited to see Jackson and Nicola than the dad was. They are taking a family video to post the next day and annoy the hunters once again.
Of course they are. And Lisa is royally pissed off.
Yeah, why does she say it's pathetic? I'm sorry, it's very clever. It's nowhere near pathetic.
That's not even the best bit of the video watching scene, though, because yet again, the editors undermine Britain's favourite hunter, Doug, by just showing him texting as he's meant to be watching the video.
Just a little cutaway shot of him not paying attention, wasn't it? Yeah, that's great.
You guys know as well as I do that Doug was messaging the podcast account last week, and he did say that the editors have a campaign of undermining him this series, going back all the way to the Norwich scene in episode one, where when he's going over to Daisy's computer to check it out, he goes down into the chair and he just goes, ugh! And they left that in the edit for no discernible reason.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Doug will also be pleased to note that I have gone back and clipped that.
Of course you have.
And who knows where it'll appear in the episode. Lisa is royally pissed off, as Ant says, for the first time in the series, and Dr. Steve Hersey says they're obsessed with her.
I think that's pushing it a bit strong, Steve.
Just a little.
She wants to crack into their network, and Ray says he would rather staple his tongue to a moving train than let them win.
Ray's book of little cliche phrases come out there.
Yeah. Then we cut to Charlotte and Cameron, and Cameron is singing Ginuwine's one-hit Pony whilst power washing a children's play park.
I think the way to catch these would have just been to put monitoring on every park in Britain. Every scene they're in a park.
Going back to the whole maybe this series is done by ChatGPT, that is a very ChatGPT sentence that I've just had to say. And Sade says that she shouldn't be encouraging her son to strip.
I know. I was like, Cameron, this is unusual to do in front of your mother. What is that about?
And in a subtle growth arc, and the one thing that I'm holding on to with a potential traditional winner's edit, Cameron is now, after last week especially when they were actually introduced, okay with talking to strangers.
Yay. He's got a little bit of work to do on how to listen to directions, though.
Yeah, left and right, not his forte, but...
Like, it was 30 seconds from when he heard it. And I actually went, no, he didn't, did he? And I actually rewound and listened to it again. I went, yeah, he did. How on earth do you change right to left, left to right?
Like, I know this comes up in the next scene, but I think it's very easy to forget that Cameron's only 19 as well.
Yeah.
I think he might actually be the youngest fugitive they've ever had. I can't think of anyone below the age of 20.
No, nobody springs to mind.
It's a very impressive feat for him to get this far into the hunt as a 19-year-old.
I'm not backing up on this. I'm sorry. He confused left and right. I'm sorry. He has done A-levels, I'm assuming. I mean, he has a brain.
Yeah.
You can't discount him just because he's 19. Fine, if he was 8, like even my 12-year-old could come back from the shop and tell me it's left or right.
I mean, I can't criticize too much because my dad is significantly older than Cameron and he does occasionally get his left and right mixed up. It's a family joke.
Yeah, but that's okay getting left and right mixed up. That's fine because that's what happens. But she verbally told it to him. Like, I had a friend who went around England with me, right? She was a navigator. I was the driver. In the end, she was not allowed to say left or right. She actually had to use her arms because she would say the wrong way. That's fine. But he was actually told the actual word.
But I love that it was, come out of the pub, turn left. What did she say? When you get to the road, turn right. Yeah. What? There was two instructions. You've got them both wrong.
Or left. Or left. He added it on at the end. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
Or left.
Can you
yes, Cameron. When you get to a T-junction, it is definitely left or right.
She'd be going as a mom, like, well, what does that mean? What do you mean, left or right? I'm surprised she didn't say anything.
And they are in Sheffield, and a CCTV sign gets zoomed in on, which doesn't even come back into play, which is hilarious. They go into a pub, and the woman helping them there is rather shocked that they're on the run.
Yes.
Oh, her facial reaction was amazing.
I know.
And she makes some calls and helps them stay off-grid with some strangers by letting them camp in the garden.
Yes, this is it. If you've learned anything from Seven Seasons, this is what you do. Complete stranger, in the garden, no connection. Beautiful.
And also, when you get a getaway driver, you make sure the getaway driver stonewalls the living bejesus out of the hunters.
Oh my God, how good was Luke?
He is badass.
So I love him.
He's my hero.
He is... definitely MVP this week.
Michelle's favourite Dr. Donna then profiles them to better understand their behaviour. I know it was Jonathan Smith who actually said that, but it's a very Dr. Donna phrase. To better understand their behaviour. And they're incredibly close because she had him so young, he's competitive and she's a survivor, and that makes them an effective pair. Ashley is then asked about Alex. He was last seen 4 days ago. They know he went to the castle, but nothing after that. And Ray thinks that he will be struggling without Jack, and go to people that he knows.
Those socks looked a little bit rank that he was taking off.
Oh, God, yeah. Blech.
Oh.
He's in Carlisle camping. They separated nearly 9 days ago.
So this puts us as what? Who knows? Who knows what day? 10, maybe?
This must put us, like, day 10, 11, 12, maybe? So it probably is about Father's Day. It's probably day 11, and then he goes to his dad's and gets caught on Father's Day.
They had a bloody busy weekend. No wonder they had to take a week off.
Yeah.
When he's struggling, he has his mum's ring on his necklace to drive him forward. She was so proud of everything that he did, and that is his driving force.
And this annoys the hell out of me, because at this point in my notes, I've put, oh, can we just have a bit more winner edit, please?
My next three words are massive winner klaxon.
How could you both be so wrong?
I know.
Again, I don't mind being misled, but it needs to make sense. You can't just come out of left field and get them caught. It needs to actually make sense. It can't be as abrupt as it was in both captures in this episode. That's what irritated me last night. I went to bed really pissed off at this episode.
How dare they do this to me? Don't they know who I am?
No, because genuinely, it needs to make sense. It needs to be a viable story. And the story seems to be that they're just trying to shock us every week with the capture. Maybe not with Christine and Munya. But most of the captures this series have been very out of left field and very abrupt and very sudden. And it undermines most of the HQ groundwork when they do that.
It does. It does, because it just fuels the fire of, huh, it's obviously fixed.
On this podcast, we are very good and we have a reputation of standing up for a lot of the bullshit that people say about the Hunters. And it's very hard to do it when the episode downright undermines their hard work.
Mm.
We are, especially Michelle, very much on the side of the fugitives, but we also respect the work that the Hunters do. And a lot of it has just been portrayed as lucky bullshit this series. And maybe it is, but they need to find a way to tell that story properly, I think, and make it a satisfying story as well.
Yeah, and I think Alex's was the worst of all of it, because all we've had is they've no idea where he is, he's off grid, he's wandering through fields, he's talking to cows, oh, he might go to his dad's, oh, he's at his dad's. And that's just not satisfying.
Yeah, despite the fact that this is a reality show and it's unscripted and everything, you still need to have that narrative thread. And I don't think we've got a narrative thread this series. Because if, as I suspect, it is Cameron who wins, his narrative thread is, I'm overcoming my anxiety, all that wonderful stuff. But we didn't see it till episode 4.
Mm.
Thinking back to series 1, we didn't get Stephen and Martin until episode 4. But we still had the other winners introduced long before that. And we still had a narrative thread that went through all the episodes. We still had Ricky getting caught halfway through. But his was a very strong story, and you saw the ebbs and flows of it. If it is Cameron, or even if it's Sade and Cameron who win, you don't have that narrative thread throughout the series. You have a very brief glimpse of them at the start of the first episode, where you see them wandering down the road, and it turns out that's from the finale, because they got no other feckin' footage. You then see maybe a brief glimpse of them in episode 1, and then naff all until episode 4. That's not satisfying as a viewer.
You're so angry.
I am. I'm very rarely angry at Hunted, but the edit this series has been shite.
Oh,
I've tried to defend it over the past 4 episodes, but I really can't. The editing this series has been distinctly underwhelming as both a consumer and a recapper of this media.
Harsh but fair.
Yeah. Like, as much as we want to shout from the rooftops about how wonderful this show is, and it is still wonderful, we need to still be able to hold them to account a little bit.
Yeah.
And this series has very much disappointed me edit-wise.
Mm.
Because I've enjoyed it far more than I enjoyed last series, mainly because it's actually, you know, 6 separate episodes rather than 3 weeks. But it's still bullshit the way they've told a lot of these stories.
And to go back to Alex's point, maybe that's why they've held on to it for 2 years, because it's been hard for them to craft a compelling story, because it looks like pretty much everyone gets caught like 10, 12 days in, and then nothing happens, and then we're at an extraction point.
Yeah, it must have been hard to edit if this is, you know, the general gist of what happened.
But the thing is, if there is a winner, and if it's Shaddai and or Cameron, you put them in all the episodes. You just pepper scenes of them dicking around in a play park in every episode if you need to.
So maybe they don't win then.
Thinking about it from a casual viewer's point of view, you get to episode 4 and you go, who the bloody hell is Shaddai and Cameron? I've never met them before.
Yeah.
All right, you need to stop being pissed off. Because we're basically only halfway down my page.
We can rattle through most of the rest of this, Michelle. There's one more bit where I am going to get pissed off, which is traditionally the extraction point information.
Okay, well, that isn't even on my page, so hurry up.
So Dr. Steve Hersey has been analysing the notebooks to try and get ahead of Alex. He notices in Jack's notebook, it contains a lot of Alex's contacts and vice versa. Alex's dad lives in Durham, and that could be where he's heading. In Manchester, Shaddai and Cameron are doing an ATM withdrawal at a Tesco Express, and the new associates have arranged a getaway driver, Luke. HQ get the cash withdrawal and see Cameron giving them the finger.
Do you think that if they did have backpacks on their back, they would still look for a car? I think they would. So why bring up that point? Just for the layman, I suppose.
Yeah, because it links to Luke.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know exactly where that Tesco Express was, but they said South Manchester. I'm not sure you'd want to walk around with your valuables for too long in most of South Manchester. The thing that needs to be brought up here is we've already seen this.
Yes.
Last week, if you remember, we pointed out there was a picture on the whiteboard of Cameron giving them the finger at an ATM.
Yes.
So there is an extreme amount of monkeying with the timeline in this episode.
Oh, this whole episode is Monkey Island. It's ridiculous.
This is bullshit. This is Australia levels of terrible storytelling.
Hey, you can hold up right there.
Michelle, you are vastly outnumbered with people who've stopped watching Australian Hunted because it's bullshit.
I love Hunted anyway. I don't care.
Even Ant gave up, and he's got a far higher tolerance for this nonsense than I have.
Yeah, I couldn't deal with it.
So Luke is dropping them in Stoke, where they plan to stay the night.
I've been there.
Oh, look at you.
Stoke. I just remember it was such a weird name. Like, we'd be driving down the highways and we would just say names of towns. We wouldn't be going there. We'd be going, oh, what was it? There was something that we even said for the next 2 weeks. It was just the weirdest name for a town. I just love your names of towns. I mean, you probably like ours because they're bizarre, but Stoke.
I mean, they're not Woolloomooloo level, are they?
No, they're not Woolloomooloo.
Stoke is famous for three things: pottery, deprivation, and not being Alton Towers.
Yeah, it's fair.
Right. Oh, that's what the name was? Was there a place called Stroud? Stroud.
Stroud.
Stroud, you mean.
Stroud. We were calling it Stroud. No, we were calling it Stroud. We thought it was funny. We were putting a Scottish accent on it.
So Steve and Nicola are sent to interrogate Luke. It's the motorbike team back together again.
Not on the motorbike, though. Where are the motorbikes?
Steve tries to play hardball with him, and Luke gives him nothing.
God, I love Cagey Luke. He's the best.
So good.
And even better, he sarcastically invites them for breakfast and then wants to put it on their expenses.
Yeah, don't you get expenses?
The guy just looks at him. Surely they can stretch to 5 sausage rolls. Come on.
Talking about sausage rolls. So I'm in the car with Tom today. And I don't know what we were talking about. We were talking about Macca's having all these different kinds of burgers and the buns, and there's just too much meat on them. And anyway, I said, sausage rolls. I said, could you possibly eat 6 sausage rolls? And I put my hand out. I said, it's got to be about this long. And could you eat 6? He's going, oh, I could probably do 4. I don't think I could do 6. And Tom is not a small guy. I mean, he's not small. And he's saying, no, 6, I'd probably vomit.
So you used your hand as the standard unit of measurement.
I did.
That's good. Good.
Yes.
That should be a thing.
It's good to see we're all doing our homework this week. Michelle's asking her husband about sausage rolls, and I'm asking you guys if you can bleat like goats.
I don't think I can. I don't even want to try.
So in York, Jackson and Nicola have had 48 hours since the video was posted. He's doing things that scare him, like borrowing a phone off someone. And Nicholas says, no one's questioned him about his gender, which is perfect for Jax.
Yeah, happiest person ever, all he's ever wanted, da-da-da-da-da, end of backstory.
And he arranges a lift via an associate and tells him not to use his normal car, but Sophia is investigating the social media connections. Ashley looks into Terry's contacts and finds Mick, who is the getaway driver, and also arranged the getaway driving out of Yorkshire. And Mick picks them up and takes them to his work, which is exactly where ground hunters Kirsty and Bex are on their way to.
This is just such a stupid move.
Yes, yes it is.
Why?
Especially locking them in essentially a fortress.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
They ring the bell, but then come in through the gates, and Jackson and Nicola obviously panic when they realise.
What I don't get, what I don't understand, is that the hunters are at a place, and they're obviously there. It's a big enough place for them to hide. Why on earth do they start walking around? What is wrong with these people? Why can't they just sit in the back of a car? Because the hunters are going to go. If he says they haven't been there or they have been there and they've left, like, why? What is wrong with them? Why do they get out there and look at the hunters and then try and run somewhere?
Panic, I guess.
It drives me crazy.
And they get spotted running across the warehouse by Kirsty, but Mick locks them out. And the building is like a fortress, and the only way out is via a very spiky security fence.
This was a good bit of tension. I did like this. I thought they edited this bit quite well.
The other thing about the edit as well that I did mean to mention, and this isn't going to be a rant, but the Next Time trailers have been very accurate, which they never are normally.
Mm, they're normally misleading, aren't they?
You see Jackson and Nicola run across a warehouse and you see that maybe the ground hunters that spotted them. But usually that would be they're probably not in the same shot, so they're probably not actually there at the same time moment. But no, it's entirely accurate.
Yeah.
Have you even got that in my notes? Hunters are outside. Is this the same time frame? Oh, yep. Turns out it is.
And maybe I like my hunter to be a little bit more disingenuous, but still, we don't expect the Next Time trailers to actually tell us what's going to happen next time, really. And one of the Next Time trailers a few weeks ago did actually have a scene in that wasn't in that episode, I seem to remember, which was Cameron crying, so.
Mm.
Mick returns with a getaway car, and Kirsty spots it, but they're too slow, and Ray is gutted that they missed out on catching Jackson and Nicola again.
This is so lucky.
Yeah, very, very lucky. Mick may be an absolute idiot for taking them to his fortress of a business, but he's less of an idiot for, you know, working out how to get them out of that fortress.
Yeah.
In Northumberland, Alex says he's miserable. He's at a bus stop and has seen 10 Range Rovers, which all gave him a heart attack. He's camped for 3 days and he's on his way to see his dad.
And we got a line that for the first time gave us a clue where he went, I'm going to win.
Mm.
And at that point, my ears pricked up and I was like, oh, no, he's not.
Yeah, interesting. He knocks on the door and his dad doesn't even recognise him. His dad tells him that Jack's been caught, which he suspected for a few days. And he's incredibly proud of Alex. It did seem to me, and at this point I did still believe that Alex was probably going to win, it seemed to me that the scene of Georgina and Zoe visiting him had been a few days earlier, because he was talking about finding out that Jack had got caught and all that sort of stuff. And yes, I get that their families are probably close and go to the same private members club or whatever, but still, you would have thought that maybe they weren't in that much communication.
Yeah, it doesn't explain how he knows Jack's been caught, does it?
No. It seems like maybe the hunters came a few days ago and then came back that day.
Yeah, it feels like that. Yeah.
Georgina and Zoe pull up and Charles is already wearing a completely different shirt and waiting for them. Alex sees them from the garden and sprints off and hides. And they drive off with no information, but they are suspicious of him. So Lisa puts coverage on the back and covert tonight and wants to trap Alex.
And I still, at this point, thought maybe he's going to get away.
Yeah.
Yes. But why? He's only just arrived there. He hasn't been there overnight, has he?
Well, I think he might have been and we didn't see it because right. Charles
so you
changed
think he
his
has
shirt.
To move.
Because
I thought maybe he could stay.
Yeah, I think it's probably got to the point where it's late enough in the hunt that they have to move every 24 hours now. Because otherwise, yeah, you just stay there and hide in one of the many rooms on the estate.
Yes.
You saw the overhead map and it was a bloody big plot of land.
Yeah, well, from overhead, he was in a green field, but then when they showed him down on the ground, he was with sheep. They didn't do that very well, the filming.
Georgina and Zoe are blocking one of the roads, and JP and Mel are in full predator mode in the fields in ghillie suits. They also have a drone going high, which can zoom in and spot him.
Ghillie suits with ChatGPT suggestion.
We've had ghillie suits before, but they are always ridiculous.
Basically looks like a Sasquatch is following him.
And Alex is staying over and has a plan. He's made up ham rolls so he can be completely self-sufficient on the run, and he just wanders through the fields. JP then spots Alex walking through the field and the drone gets him. He's walking right towards Georgina and Zoe. JP sprints after him. I would say sneaks up after him, but it really isn't sneaking. He sprints after him and Alex finally sees him and then gets caught.
He does indeed. Now, I have a hypothesis. There are a couple of scenes just before he gets caught that I strongly suspect were filmed after he got caught.
Yes, because there was no camera operator.
There was no camera operator. Not only has he got his chest mount, he's also got a selfie stick GoPro. So they clearly don't want a crew in the drone shot, which means they must have filmed the drone shot after they got caught, I think. Yeah. Otherwise, they've got to say, now, for no good reason, Alex, for the next half an hour or so, just need you to not have a camera crew with you. If you could just film everything. No, don't, nothing to worry about, mate. But just wander through that field without a camera crew for a moment. So I think they must have gone back and reshot that.
I think the camera angle that we shot of JP just sauntering up to Alex and catching him was probably not actually that accurate.
No, it couldn't have been.
No. But I did also twig that. I'm like, oh, there's no camera operator in that drone shot. That's interesting.
It's all on a selfie stick. And as that was panning out, I was like, well, here it is then. He's what did I put? GoPro on selfie stick so they don't get the crew in the drone shot. Probably filmed after he's caught. 100% capture coming up.
Yeah. And he thought he was going to win, but at least he's got bragging rights over Jack.
That's true. And he had his ham rolls and, you know, Jack only had sausage rolls.
Yeah, good point. And only two teams remain on the run, and now they must head towards London to find out where the extraction point will be.
And we are now 72 hours to extraction.
We are.
Instantly. That is an entire week.
Yep. Even if we're charitable and say that maybe Alex visited his dad a few days after Father's Day, that's still probably 4 or 5 days missing.
Yes. What the hell happened?
Cameron is body popping by the M3 and trying to hitchhike, and Sade finds them a lift. And for some god-awful reason, they must head back to London to find out where the extraction point's going to be.
Like, why? So they can catch
that better
small?
Make sense.
I'm not going to do my usual rant of, oh, you've logged onto this website, so the hunters have got your location, which is bullshit. But making them go to London where, as Dr. Steve Hersey says, there's facial recognition cameras. We have to do nothing.
Yeah.
It's also bullshit.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Jackson and Nicola get money from an ATM just northwest of Bradford to make it easier, and they're heading for a train station. Hunter Lindsay puts in CCTV requests for Leeds as it's the largest transport hub in the area, suspecting that a £200 withdrawal is a sign of a big amount of travel coming.
Yeah, but then it's a train, so, you know, Leeds to Wakefield's probably £200 these days.
Certainly takes as long as Leeds to London does.
Interesting that Mark Doyle has also said, could it be a clean sweep this season?
Yeah, there's a lot of people thinking that it could be a clean sweep.
It's not going to be a big surprise, but I hope not. I hope it's not, but you never know.
HQ then gets CCTV of them at the train station and find out the train is heading to King's Cross. And unfortunately for them, Jordan and James are the nearest team, but still miles away.
How come they're allowed to take £200 out all of a sudden?
That is a very good point.
And that's a lot, too. What do they need that much money for?
To get to London on a train from Bradford. I'd be surprised if they even managed it.
I was going to say, unless they did it over a few days, and we didn't see that, but still.
It implied they took it out in one hit.
I think maybe they loosened the rules a little bit, knowing that they were going to force people to go to London.
Yeah, possible.
As a one-time thing, they said, yes, you can get a bit more money out. So next time, the helicopter goes up, Sade and Cameron get caught on a bus to Skipton, Jackson and Nicola are stalked on a train, and JP gets eyes on Cameron.
Yeah.
Do you think there will be a winner, and if so, who?
I think it's 50-50 if there is a winner or not at all.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of how maths works, yeah.
You know,
it either is or
no,
it isn't.
No, I think there's an even chance of one or the other. I can't come down on one side or the other.
Yeah.
If there is a winner, who do you think it's going to be?
Cameron.
Jackson.
I very much think there is going to be a solo win because this edit has been so atypical this series that it feels like they're having to tell a different story than they ever have done.
Yeah. I'll phrase it a different way. Sade and Nicola get caught next week. Definitely.
And the permutations we haven't seen in the civilian one are one person wins and three people win.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's incredibly likely that sadly Sharda gets caught, probably saving Cameron in the process. I think it's probably likely that Jackson and Nicola get caught. Therefore, that leaves a solo win and a 19-year-old to earn 100 grand on his own. Okay. 50 grand of which will obviously go to his mother.
Yeah. which I will be happy with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But having said that, we should know more about Cameron if he's going to win.
Yeah. Personally, very satisfying if Sade and or Cameron win.
Mm-hmm.
But from an edit point of view, not that satisfying because they've just not told any stories about them until last week, which is nonsense.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
No, I am all good.
No, just a very, very odd episode. Weird timeline, a whole week skipped. Yeah, the hanging on to it for 2 years does make sense. This was clearly a hard series to edit.
Yeah, it's just a weird, weird episode all around, I think.
Mm.
I did kind of call there'd be a bloodbath episode at some point, but I wasn't expecting these three people to be the bloodbath.
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening to our Hunted Recap. We will be back this time next week for the final episode. Don't forget you can contact us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, where we are RTV Warriors, or you can email us and contact at rtvwarriors.com. Anthony's on the artist formerly known as Twitter at Bullsboy. Michelle is Bear333333333, and I am Jay Harmstone. We will see you next Tuesday for the finale. But with that, for this week, your time in the run is over.
Ciao, ciao.
Oh, yeah. Where was a bit of all right this week? Bye.